Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is MacBreak Weekly, episode 69, for December 4th, 2007. Mac Malachi. MacBreak Weekly is brought to you by Audible.com. For your free audiobook, visit audible.com/MacBreak. And by listeners like you. Thanks for your donations. It's time for MacBreak Weekly, the weekly confab of Mac Minds, discussing the latest Apple news. And around the board, we have a fabulous team of Mac experts ready to pontificate. Mr. Macalope is here via telephone.
Hello.
Macalope, in his special lair, is not allowed to use electronics.
No.
So he has to use an old Western electric phone.
It's a rotary dial.
Yeah, it works.
Shiny and black, and
it works.
I like it.
How are things going at CNET?
Great.
You like it there?
Yeah. They send the checks.
That's good. Money's good.
Exactly.
Everybody loves money.
Works
and what's happening?
For everyone.
What's happening at Macalope.com?
Zip.
Okay.
Although I did take your advice and I posted an update to let people
saying,
know.
At least you're not home anymore.
Pop thing says where you can find me.
And you gave me credit.
Yes, I did.
Thank you. Also, ladies and gentlemen, from Los Angeles, we won't say, well, let's say it. He's on Linux. Mr. Scott Bourne.
I know Linux is kind of close to OS X.
I think it's really a kind of a revolution that you're using the Asus EPC.
I am. See what happens when you do a pick of the week, I buy it.
And, well, you know what? That's funny because I bought the Audio Engine speakers, so it goes both ways. I love those speakers, by the way. They're really great. So, and you're using a headset with it, a USB headset?
I'm using the very headset that you often recommend, the Plantronics.
And it works out of the box.
Works. I plugged it in. All we had to do is set the preferences to recognize the Plantronics, and this little $399 computer becomes a portable studio for podcasters. It's pretty amazing.
Isn't that amazing? I can't. Now, are you using something to record with it too? Like, can you record audio? Have you? Because that would be that would be amazing.
Well, that's what we're going to work on next. We're gonna start doing some research on that, but. You know, $399 plus, I think it was $30 for the Plantronics headset. And I'm in a hotel in Marina Del Rey. and I'm like, I can't believe I'm on a podcast.
Isn't that amazing? It's fantastic. You can update the Skype, by the way. The Ars Technica has a really good article on hacking the EPC. And one of the things that you can do, and I did right away, is upgrade to Linux Skype 2 beta, which allows you to do video because it's got a built-in camera too. This thing,
yeah,
it's amazing.
We played with the camera using the proprietary software.
Right. I'm ordering. I just ordered the OL PC, so I'm going to do a head-to-head between that and the OL PC, which should be the one laptop per child PC.
Yeah,
should be an interesting combination.
I didn't know you could order those. You can order them,
ladies and gentlemen. Alex Lindsay from the Lindsay Labs. How's Malachi?
Yes.
Am I saying it right when I say Malachi?
It's just Malachi.
Malachi.
Yeah, it's Malachi.
Now, that's clever because it's an Irish name, and I bet you.
It's actually an African spelling of a biblical name.
Right. So is there an African name, Malachi?
Well, there's just Malachi, which is a biblical name. It's the last chapter in the Old Testament, and it's mostly a whole lot of you're in trouble.
You named the kid You're in Trouble.
No. He was a good guy. Malachi was a good guy, but you know, God was, you know, pissed. So
God's pissed a lot in the Old Testament. That's
it. Actually, just it was one of those things that I kind of blurted out during the they asked what his name was going to be, and we hadn't talked about it at all, and I just popped out of my head, and then my wife liked it, and then everyone else liked it, and then it stuck. So
did you do the Kunta Kinte thing? Hold him up to the sky and say, I dub thee Malachi?
You know, the thought had crossed my mind. No, I actually just took lots and lots and lots of photos. So the nurse made a lot of fun of me. You know, sitting there with my little SLR, and within like the first hour, I had shot like 150 photos.
Oh, wow.
of him, and he's very photogenic. So
are you putting those on Flickr or anywhere we can see those?
Yes, actually, if you go to web.mac.com/AlexLindsay, all one word. And that should be enough. It should just take you right to that site.
Oh, look at him. He's beautiful.
Yeah, he's a cutie.
Oh, what a sweet little
baby. You know how everybody says the baby is cute, and lots of times I think to myself, not so much. But in this case, the baby really is cute.
He's frighteningly cute. I mean, all the nurses kept on coming in and looking at him. You know, like they just wanted to come in and say hi to him. And he's really, really laid back. And, you know, one of the things that's really interesting is this is the first experience that I had of using the iApps as an iApp. You know, because, you know, right. We do a lot of work in the pro apps. And this was a perfect example of something that, you know, I'm not going to build a big website. I'm not building something out. I'm not doing whatever I need to do. I'm actually I just want to throw up a web page. You know, and I want it to look pretty, but I don't want to spend any time on it whatsoever. I mean, the big pressure was, of course, is that everyone, all the family and friends wanted to see it immediately. And so, you know, he was born on Saturday morning, and on Saturday night, I had that webpage up.
Wow.
You know, and it looks great. And people are like, oh, that's really, really great.
And you can do a slideshow, and I mean, it's really great.
Yeah, and it was just put together, you know, that's just all iWeb and iPhoto and, you know, you know, all those pieces, and it just worked. It worked really, really well. You know, I was because I kind of poo-poo the iApps a lot, and I was really surprised at how easy you know, all of it was to put it together. So it was so from a Mac point of view, that was a good time. But
she had a less than 3 hour labor.
You know, thing is
we had a 58-hour labor.
Yeah, no, it was a little scary because we got in there and, you know, we were only in the delivery room for.
Hold on a second. Hold on. I'm sorry. I just don't hold that thought. Wait a minute. Let me get Will in the conference. There you go. You were in the living room. I'm sorry. I interrupted because Will Harris just called in.
Oh, no. I'm just saying we were only in the delivery room for like a half an hour. You know,
it's like boom. And this is her first usually this take first. Hours and hours.
Well, they told her, well, just so you know. If you, the next time, as soon as you feel any contractions, you need to come to the hospital now. Because
yeah, she doesn't take long.
Yeah, they said the next one will take like an hour and a half, you know, and so,
wow.
And so it's,
so you're already planning
anyway,
the next one, huh?
What? Oh, I'm not saying we're planning the next one. I'm just saying that they said if there's a next one, there would be, that's what you'd want to make sure that you, keep track of that. And so, anyway, but mom and, baby are doing exceptionally well. Fortunately, he's super laid back. So, you know, he cries for maybe a minute here and there and for the most part just hangs out. So
congratulations. It's great. Malachi. Thanks. What a great name and a beautiful baby. Will Harris has joined us from Oxford, England. Hello, Will.
Hello. How you doing?
Finally getting you in the daytime. Well, not quite daytime, but.
Well, it's more daytime than usual. So that's quite fun.
Not quite the middle of the night anyway.
Exactly.
Thanks for joining us. So we have a lot to talk about. MBWideas.com is the place to go. And I will put a link, if you don't mind, Alex, to your baby pictures in the
show
notes. Mm-hmm. I think Shash is listening and we'll pick that up. Let's get to the story. Let's get to the stories.
Apple posted so many. I have to say it was really funny. I was actually trying to get ready for the show and
you couldn't help it.
And I came in, and like the minute before, there was like all these, you know, where did these come from?
More pictures. Isn't that fun? Oh, man. You know, between you and Merlin's done a lot of pictures, too, on Flickr. And it's really interesting because the cameras are so good, and you guys are such good photographers. These pictures are just mind-blowing.
It's, you know,
they're not snapshots.
And all that is it's just an SLR with a 50mm fast lens.
You know, that's what Merlin's doing, the same thing.
I think we have the same lens and the same camera. It's like a 20D with a 50mm 1.8 lens. And it's just that short depth of field makes everything look artistic.
It does. Well, it puts the baby in focus and everything else is soft focus. And it really, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I just love it. I
really enjoy it. And I take about, you know, 20 photos a day. So it's slowly building up.
Should we start with the rumors?
Rumors.
Rumor number one, Apple orders 13.3-inch LED backlit screens, according to the Apple Insider, or is this Mac Rumors? I guess it's Mac Rumors. They say that Digitimes says that Apple placed an order with Kenmos Technology and Taiwan Nano Electro Optical for these screens. Apple orders, the sources disclose that NanoOps LED Notebook BLU, those are the backlit units, shipments in November were only 10,000 units. Apple orders expected to drive shipments to over 90,000 units in December. Kenmos said to be shipping LED Notebook Blue BLUs to Apple for high-end models as well. New sub-notebook?
I hope so.
Well, it could be, but it could just be better MacBook displays, couldn't it? I mean, the
13-inch is the MacBook, isn't it?
MacBook Pro has an LED backlight, so it could just be they're rolling that out across the standard MacBook as well. Not to rain on anyone's parade.
Dell is ordering 12 inches. Dells are smaller. Macalope, what do you think? You follow the rumor mill.
Yeah, I mean, this could be, you know, you never know, but I mean, it could be the convergence of two separate rumors that, you know, just updated MacBooks, and then, you know, people have been talking about lighter, slim.
We all want that.
Travel-sized MacBook.
We all want that. And the thing we've been talking about for the last few episodes is, what the hell is Steve Jobs going to have to say at his keynote? By the way, it's official. He will be keynoting Apple, a Macworld Expo.
I was so hoping that the AT&T guy was going to take it.
He's not there anymore.
No, he quit.
Yeah.
After his poor performance last year.
Yeah. So, that was his swan song.
Isn't that sad? He'll be remembered as the
note card guy.
Yeah. I mean, really, seriously, Steve's got, or maybe doesn't have to, but it is kind of traditional. iPhone 2 will be what?
That'll be announced. It won't be available. That'll
same
be
issue.
Announced.
Yeah, they'll announce it for a June release because they have to get the FCC approval. What, Mr. Apple phone show guy, what would a new iPhone mean? Bigger memory, but what else?
16 gigs of RAM, 3G.
3G.
And SDK.
AT&T has been saying they're going to be rolling out more HSDPA.
Scott, do you think there'll be a GPS in there?
I sure hope not, but probably.
They kill batteries fast.
Yeah, I think GPS is unnecessary in the phone. You got Google Maps. Can you look up and see the street address that you're standing at and type that in and then go from there? But it kills the battery to the point. And plus, I repeat, I've just never seen a phone GPS that takes less than 5 minutes to acquire all the satellites.
That's true, too.
5 minutes.
And you know what? If you put that in Bluetooth, the Google Maps will pick up a Bluetooth external dongle. That's what I use on my BlackBerry. That would be an easy update to the iPhone without killing battery life.
Yeah, because I have to say that the only reason I bought a Trio long ago before I had my iPhone was specifically so I could hook it to a TomTom. And it got to a point where I felt like I was, you know, if I was in LA, especially if I was driving around, I really felt naked if I didn't have that GPS there, because I could very quickly route around, you know, all kinds of stuff.
But now the iPhone won't see an external Bluetooth, right?
Right. But I think that also comes down to SDK. You know, being released. So if they do an SDK and the Bluetooth can see all that, then
it's fine. I think it's a simple thing for Apple. It's putting that definition into the Bluetooth spec, because Google Maps does it automatically already on my BlackBerry. I mean, it's part of the Google. It's a feature of Google Maps.
Right.
Speaking of Google Map features, there is a feature that is in Google Maps on other phones, not in the iPhone. The ability to triangulate your location using cell phone towers. I will be able to do that now on the BlackBerry and other phones, but it is not on the iPhone.
Now, didn't Navicon or whatever have that working for a little while? Didn't they hack that into the iPhone for a while?
That's how they were working. Yeah, that was a great little
working it, and they got killed.
Yeah,
yeah,
it worked. I used it. It didn't. It works in metro areas, so it didn't work where I am, because you have to have people entering in the. This is where I don't know if it was using triangulation. You know what? I don't think it was. I think it was just saying, well, here's the nearest cell site, and others have told us that cell site is in this area. I don't think it was. Was it using triangulation? Triangulation would give you more accurate results.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how that.
I think the phone has to support that. It has to be able to say, you know, what are some other cells in this area? In any event, it sounds like it's not going to be part of the iPhone.
While we're talking about the iPhone, Leo, just want to provide you with some information. May not be readily available to you because it's not on the wires, I don't think, yet. We have a correspondent in Germany telling us that the T-Mobile decision was overturned. So the requirement that Germany sell the unlocked phone is now no longer a requirement.
Interesting. So they're going to pull back on that, you think?
We don't know what their reaction to the court decision is going to be. And my guess is they're going to pull back, but they don't have to do it anymore like they did. The decision was overturned.
They still have to do it in France, don't they?
Yeah, that's the funny thing. Yeah, you go over the border, you get it in France.
Yeah.
And it's not €1,000 in France either.
Well, and you have to wait 6 months, though, in France. So what'll really be interesting is for all the people that plunked down the unlocked money during these 2 weeks, what's going to happen to them? Anyway, this is breaking news. I didn't know
Thank
if you had it.
No, I didn't have it. Thank you. Cringely says that AT&T's revelation that they're going to do a 3G phone, it was a way of putting the screws to Apple. Cringely says it was a billion-dollar message to Apple, saying you better get the phone to support 3G. He said, now Cringely's not notorious for being right about anything, but I mean, I like him, and he's got some great ideas, but he doesn't seem to have particularly good sources. And so I think this is more speculation on Cringely's part. But he speculates AT&T might be upset with Apple. And so announcing this 3G phone or 3G iPhone might be a way of, I don't know what, pissing Apple.
It seems to be cutting off their nose to spite their face, though.
Yeah, totally.
You know, if people don't go out and buy iPhones right now, that's money out of AT&T's pocket.
Well, and it's right. It's during Christmas season. I mean, it was. Right. It seems a little insane.
That's why he calls it a $1 billion message.
Well, it does show you
so
why
it's
$1 billion
of AT&T's money.
Right. Exactly. It's a huge cost.
Not Apple's money.
Yeah. He says AT&T's upset with Apple because Apple might be joining Google in the bid for the 700 megahertz. This is a very convoluted theory.
Yeah.
The 700 megahertz.
Whether it's convoluted or not, I mean, if you really wanted to get Steve to start grinding an axe,
yeah,
this was a great way to do it.
Piss off Steve. Good, smart business move.
Yeah.
Steve, you know, mad. NBC.
If he didn't know about it, I'm sure that there was an exciting meeting at Apple.
Exciting. This is why they like to control the PR so tightly, because, you know, nobody at Apple would ever say what's coming in the way of 3G. The way that the AT&T guy did. I mean, I guess Steve hinted at it before, but not quite this openly and dramatically. And I don't know. I think there's like about 1,000 conspiracy theories over what happened.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was all calculated for some reason, but I don't quite understand it. Every once in a while, Apple makes a mistake. This might have been making a mistake because we're getting lots of email at the show, people saying, well, should I wait for the 3G phone? And I'm like, well, yeah, you can wait, but I mean, we're not talking a few weeks; we're talking quarters.
What did AT&T say? They said yes, there will be a 3G phone.
There will be a phone in 2008. There will be a 3G phone.
But that could be December 2008. They didn't say when. Exactly. In 2008.
Exactly. But you know how people are; they're like, well, I'm going to wait.
Is it that big a deal? Would it make a big difference in your buying decision if you had a choice between an HSDPA-capable phone and the iPhone? I don't think so.
Well, it's only in 220 markets right now, which sounds like a lot, but that leaves a lot of places that are uncovered. And as Andy pointed out, when we the very first time we talked about this on Apple Phone Show, he lives in a place where there's 3G right now, and he has a 3G-capable phone that can rarely get online.
Right.
I mean, they're
you got Wi-Fi. In most cases, that's going to be fine, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not the panacea everybody thinks it is. And once they ship it, trust me, we're going to see all the haters come out with, well, it's no good because it doesn't have 4G.
Well, yeah, well, yeah, I suppose.
I mean, I think that it, I mean, I'd love to see if I had a choice between 2.5G and 3G now. I mean, I would definitely want a 3G phone, but I don't really care. I mean, I can keep it plugged in. It takes up more battery power. It doesn't really matter to me. Because as you guys know, I don't talk on the phone very much. But the thing is that I'm not going to wait for 6 months or 9 months or whatever for this phone to come out.
And I don't think it's enough of an improvement that will hold people off. If somebody wants an iPhone, they're going to get an iPhone this Christmas. But do you think, Scott, that a January announcement of a much improved iPhone is imminent, or is it just an evolutionary iPhone?
Well, like I say, I think it's going to be, you know, double the storage.
That would be good.
And 3G and the SDK announcement, and they'll, you know, do a couple little doodads, and they'll do it all at the same price of the original one, which is typical of how they do it, looking at the iPod history.
But it won't be available till June.
But it won't be available till June. And that same kind of announcement at last year's Macworld was enough to foreshadow everything that was talked about at CES.
Right. Yeah, but that was the first announcement of the iPhone. So this...
Yeah, I know. He's probably got to think that that's still a pretty big card to play. He may not... There are very few Apple announcements in history we're going to see that kind of impact. And on a regular impact basis, that's a pretty good bet. Unless he's going to announce, like I say, the new sub-notebook.
There's not much else he could say. They've revved the notebooks. They've revved the iPods. He doesn't do pro apps or pro hardware usually at Macworld Expo. I don't know what else
We're not going to see a new iLife suite. It took him until, just a few months ago to get that.
Right. So maybe it's just a... I could easily see Steve giving his traditional State of the Union speech and like, oh, we're selling a lot of iPods, we're selling a lot of iPhones, everything's great, congratulations, Apple's number one.
I just don't think Steve would show up if that's all it was.
He's got to have more, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't think he'd, I still think that, I think the most probable thing is some kind of sub-notebook, and I think that the sub-notebook may have a touchscreen, because they've been working on all this technology around the iPhone. They've really figured out a lot of stuff that you'd think they'd want to take advantage of elsewhere. And while it hasn't worked for the PC side, I think that we're in a much more mature market now too.
Right. Right. All right. Well, I guess it's going to be, I should say at this juncture that we're going to be at Macworld Expo covering it in great depth, including the traditional post keynote wrap up at Mac Break Weekly. We'll do a special episode that comes out right after the
keynote. On the floor,
on the show floor, in the West Hall.
In the West Hall, so it should be a lot of fun. People should get over there as fast as they can too, because there's only, I think, 300 or 400 seats, and there's a lot more people there at the keynote and everything else. And so,
and then all week long, we'll be doing shows there. Twit's going to be there on Friday. We're going to do Floss Weekly. We're going to do Jumping Monkeys. Megan said she can make it, so we'll do a lot of the podcasts there. And then, Scott, you have in the conference track, you've got a podcast track.
Yeah, on Thursday, you'll be speaking there, of course, as will Alex. And that will be in the actual S. It's the conference segment known as SC, S like Sam, C like Charlie. And for people that buy the conference tickets, we have an all-day thing, and it's literally... I mean, it's an all-star cast, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be doing a lot of the same stuff. We'll be moving stuff back and forth between the Pixel Core area and the conference track area. So, we got Girls Gone Geek coming over. We'll do a lot of fun stuff. We'll do it all together. We'll just throw it all in jambalaya stew.
So, if you have a conference pass, you'll be able to see like from soup to nuts on doing podcasting, and then. You want to? There'll be much more content also in the West Hall. So basically, you could spend all week talking about that and watching that. And Macalope, if you want, we can get a bag to put over your head and cut some eyes.
I've been trying to figure out if there's a way to do it.
Would you? Let me ask you this, because I have to say, no one among us knows who Macalope is. We've never asked. He just appears on the show magically. I have a special Macalope hotline, actually, phone that he calls in on. So we don't know. Would you be recognized if you didn't wear a bag over your head, do you think?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Sort of.
Because, see, I had a way to figure this out.
Were you in Red Hot Chili Peppers? Are you Dave Grohl?
I have worn a sock on various parts of... Never mind.
Okay, so...
But no.
So you might need some anonymity, but we'd be glad to arrange a mask of any kind. You want a Steve Jobs mask? I think that'd be kind of fun.
Well, that'd be good. Or just the Tricky Dick mask. That'd be...
Close enough.
Yeah.
Wear a black turtleneck, jeans, and we'll get a mask of some kind.
Okay.
All right, because that'd be fun.
It would be.
We
could have three guys there, Leo, and we could have three mics, and you wouldn't know which one was live.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm talking about the people in the audience, yeah. Though. You see, the audience are going to be sitting there. There are going to be hundreds of people looking, trying to figure out who the hell is the Macalope, really?
Bring the fake.
I need to get a classic Mac and just hollow it out.
Oh, that'd be good. Just put it on your head. Oh, that'd be great. Have that Mac happy, the Mac face on there.
Right.
Wow. Or, okay, I got another idea. If you can't make it there, we could just put a laptop with you in shadow, in silhouette, and do that, and put that on the stage. We'll figure it out.
Okay.
We'll talk.
I'd love to do it.
We'll figure out a way to hide your true identity. It's a good, hey, it worked for Spencer the Cat for years. It could work for you.
Right.
We lost Will Harris.
That's the idea.
I'm not sure what happened to Will. I don't know if he grew weary of us or if he's lost his connection. So if we can get him back, we will. So T-Mobile, as you said, has overturned the injunction against, or German court has overturned the injunction against T-Mobile. It has now crossed the wires, saying they don't have to unlock. So they've relocked it. They pulled that €999 phone. I wonder how many they sold at €1,000. Come on. Honest.
That's a lot of moolah.
Honest, really. That's a lot of moolah. Back to, I guess it's kind of a little bit of a rumor. Apple may start raising the price on iTunes, according to an analyst. Apple's going to be paying the movie industry a lot more for movies and is going to have to raise the cost, the average price on iTunes to $15. This is a necessary condition to luring Fox back in. And that's the other big story, is that even though Fox has Hulu on its TV side with NBC, Fox is going to, apparently, according to Apple Insider, make a deal with iTunes. But $15 movies, would you buy a $15 movie on iTunes?
I don't buy iTunes movies anyway.
You can get a DVD for that.
I don't buy, yeah. I mean, the DRM, to me, is not worth the price.
Well, it's lower quality. It's just the movie. It's copy protected. If it comes anywhere near the cost of a DVD, forget it.
Well, and the thing is that I'm afraid that I started buying a couple movies here just as kind of an experiment, but I find myself very attached to Netflix.
My kids buy movies, and that may be part of the thing, is that this isn't aimed at us. It's aimed at a younger generation that's used to buying stuff on iTunes. It's the convenience. You know, they don't see the credit card, so they just buy. And it explains why all of a sudden High School Musical is on my Apple TV, because I didn't put it there.
Sure, Leo.
I'm not watching that. I still haven't seen it. And finally, the other shoe drops on the NBC pullout. All the NBC shows are gone.
Actually, they're not gone. They're just not listed on the sidebar.
Oh, but you could still get them?
I did it yesterday.
Directly, if you go to the URL directly?
Huh.
Yeah, all you do is go to iTunes Store and type in this. Like, I wanted to get Chuck. Okay, I wanted to get the new episodes of Chuck, and I just typed Chuck, and they're all still there. But they just no longer listed on the sidebar.
Well, the contract expired. I imagine that's just taking them a little longer to get the rest of it gone.
I don't think it's
the easiest thing to do is just turn it off.
Yeah.
Leo, I don't think it expires till December 30th.
I'm looking in Gadget. They say, I know how much you love in Gadget. They say,
It could be. All I know is that yesterday I bought 20 NBC episodes on iTunes myself.
I thought it was the end of December as well. But, well, okay.
Yeah.
Sales will continue through December, it says. And then Hulu. Now, I've played with Hulu. The problem with Hulu is you can't download them. You can't, right. You know, you have to sit in front of your computer and watch them on Flash.
And they only have the last 5 episodes, don't they?
You know, it's very weird on Hulu. It's hard to predict what's going to be on Hulu. There's some old stuff. There's some new stuff. Sometimes the newest episode's on there. Sometimes it's not. It's very unpredictable. Part of it is the writer's strike. I mean, I can't tell right now. You know, I mean, there's no new Office episodes, but there are no new Office episodes, period. So let me look at Heroes. Let's see. Okay, popular browse titles, Heroes, because there's many seasons of Heroes. How much of Heroes is on here? It looks like they only have, you're right, looks like they only have 5 episodes. Lots of clips, but only 5 episodes of Heroes. Season 2, episodes 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11.
That's just not going to cut it.
No, sorry. Of course, it's free.
Well, the thing is, if you want to take market share, you really have to knock it out of the park. You know, that's the problem that they're not really getting. Oh, we'll put something up there, and that'll make a difference. But it doesn't, because it has to be a superior experience. People are, you know, they're competing. They're not just competing with iTunes. They're competing with, you know, BitTorrent and everything else.
Competition is just download the full high def version free.
Right.
And people want, I think they want a one-stop solution,
yeah,
too, and they're going to pick whatever their one-stop solution is. So it's either going to be people downloading from BitTorrent. I mean, and in my case, I have an ITV and I tape everything, and you know, you're going to find your one-stop solution. And when that fails you for some reason, yeah, maybe you'll go over and you'll look at Hulu just if you missed an episode.
My kids, you know, and it's funny because my daughter last night was watching content from, was it ABC, Desperate Housewives or something? ABC.
On Hulu?
No, on the ABC. Now they have an ABC thing, right? They have a, you know, web-based ABC thing. So they, you know, they'll do that.
They're ahead of us.
They're kids. Well, and they're, well, maybe their standards are low. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be honest with you. You know, I wanted to watch Tin Man on Sci-Fi last night. Mm-hmm. And first thing I do is I go to iTunes. Yeah, I know I could always download it for free, but I want to see if I can. It is just because it's easier and because I feel better about it, but it's also because it's easier just to do a season pass and then say, okay, good, I got it.
Right.
But it's not on iTunes. Now, maybe Sci-Fi is going to put it, and a lot of times this is what happens. You know, Weeds is now there, but it's too late. I want to see it when it comes out, so I'm going to download it. Right. And they're really missing opportunity by not jumping on that. I guess they feel like it'll cannibalize the broadcast version, but I don't think so. Do it a day later, 2 days later, if you're really worried about that. But don't do it a month later.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I think that it there's a whole different market for people who just want to just download it and watch it than the people who are, you know, flicking through TV and finding it. Right. So it's, you know, it's one of those things that I know, you know, as we all know, I'm kind of disconnected, you know, from cable. But I have, you know, my kind of super system with the little Mac Mini and stuff like that. And it's just great because I have, you know, I bought all the stuff and I've got, you know, 80 movies and, you know, I don't know how many episodes of everything just kind of sitting there and I can just find it whenever I need it. And I have to admit, I just don't feel the need to go back to, you know, I would never go back to TV. But the interesting thing is that it's, you know, it is all stuff that's just easy to, it's just much easier to do it, but they're making it. I mean, I don't want to go to a web page to do it.
Right. Or watch it in Flash. And, you know, you could always capture the Flash, but, you know, that's not, it doesn't even look that good.
I have to admit, I did that experiment with the, there's a company called BDC. I think it's just VDC.com. And they do, you know, I watch my news, my world news. I watch Al Jazeera English and, cause it's the best world news. It has the most African, coverage. Anyway, so I don't want to sit there and watch it in front of my computer. So I just took snaps and I just hit play and then drew my little square. And then I went to work out and I came back and I had 2 hours of Al Jazeera, put it on my iPhone. And I just kind of wander around watching it whenever I need to, you know, to pull it up. But that's the problem is I don't want to watch it. I don't want to watch a stream. I want to watch it when, right, I want to watch it.
Yeah, you know, exactly. And exactly. Well, there goes the neighborhood. There goes NBC, and up goes the movies. And I think these companies just don't understand. They don't get it.
Yeah.
They don't get it. So if Apple pays more and they charge us more, if it's part of the way to get Fox on there, and Fox gets on there and, oh, nobody buys The Man with the Iron Mask because it's $15, who's gonna, you know?
I mean, really, the price of these things should be $4.99.
Yeah,
that's what it should be. I mean, if we're downloading something, it doesn't have any extras, you know, and it's $6.40 by whatever. It should be $4.99, and people would buy them like crazy, and they, you know, it'd be just a knee jerk kind of thing, you know.
Now you can rent them on Xbox 360. You download it. You have 3 days to watch it. They're HD, which is kind of neat. You get full HD quality
for rental on Xbox 360.
Yeah.
And I need to get one of those.
It's pretty cool. And the quality is good. It takes forever to download. But, you play a little more Mass Effect and eventually the thing downloads. Do you think that's a better way, Macalope, to do it, to rent them?
I think it's got to be, yeah.
Then Hollywood's happy.
Right. I mean, that's a price point that everybody's going to be happy with. And, you know, I think in most cases, people don't. But this is why Netflix is so successful. People don't need to keep the movie around.
Right. The unofficial Apple weblog thinks that, in fact, based on strings in the iTunes library, that rental is the next thing for both the iPhone and iTunes. You think? Do you think that's where Apple's going to go?
I hope so.
Yeah, and then then what would be the price? $4.99? Or do you have to compete with Blockbuster?
That,
you have to compete with Blockbuster, don't you? It's expensive. It's expensive on Xbox Live. It is not. You pay for the convenience of pushing a button and having it download. And you only get 3 days once you start watching. You get 30 days to start watching it, and then 3 days once you start watching it.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a great...
It's kind of lame, but yeah. It's HD.
Well, I don't know why you couldn't do the same thing that you could do with Netflix. I mean, really.
Right.
You know.
Keep it until you're done with it. Right.
Well, the other thing is, I mean, there's a lot, you know, you're also competing with people with Netflix and Handbrake.
Well, you know, I mean, so, but I think that most people think, oh, that's a small niche market of high, mm-hmm. of hardcore sophisticated users, which it is. It's not,
yeah,
it's not a huge loss. Do you think?
I don't know. You know, I don't know how big it is. You know, I just know a lot of people that do it. So it's just
certainly nobody on this podcast.
Not me. Never had. No, no.
No, but I mean, I just think that there's a lot of people who, you know, who just, you know, there was a conversation that we had at lunch about where Netflix maxes out. You know, if you run too many, you know, through and you're obviously not watching them all, then they'll put you on second tier. And the fact that someone knew that existed was, I found
and
interesting. Yeah. I didn't know there was a max, you know, I just order what I order and get what I get. So, anyway, I just thought it was interesting. But anyway, but that's another piece and people who don't want to go online and don't, you know, and the thing is for me, Netflix, I mean, I have a pretty big, you know, I got the five, whatever, and I got plenty of movies laying around all the time. And I don't really feel like the need to, between what I have sitting on my Mac mini and what I have in Netflix, I just don't feel like I really need to order that many more movies. I don't have that much time. I think that's the problem.
So there's,
but if they make it too expensive, I just don't see myself doing it.
There's a new 24-hour Mac channel on the web, the digitallifestyle.tv. It's using Mogulus, which I still can't get a beta invite to. And Amber's Command N is on there, Morgan Webb's Web Alert. 24 hours worth of shows, not all Mac shows, but many Mac shows. Have you talked to them, Alex?
You know, they sent me an email, and I have to admit it was like right before Malachi showed up. And so I'm planning to get back to
him. Scott, you're on it, though. The Apple phone show's on.
Apple phone show is there. Yeah, they contacted me. It's
But you don't do video. What do they do?
No, they're just doing they're doing link outs to audio podcasts. So obviously we've got MacBreak Weekly up there. They're doing link outs to things that are audio. They're just trying to be a Mac destination from what I understand.
Who are these guys?
Just a bunch of guys. I mean, nobody we know.
Has anybody sat for 24 hours? Right now, the digital guy is on or something. The digital media dude. And there's a picture of ducks. It looks like he's doing some sort of Photoshopping thing. I mean, I think, you know, it's kind of an intriguing idea to me. I mean, it's a little bit like, you know, the educational channel running 24/7 in the background. But why not? I mean, there's certainly, I would say there's, if you're going to have a, it's so funny because Tech TV said, oh, we'll never do a Mac show because you can't get advertisers and it's not a large enough market. And it always drove me crazy. I always said, doesn't matter. The Mac people are more engaged. Even if there are fewer Mac people, more of them will watch than PC people watch a PC show. And maybe these guys have the right idea. I think it's kind of an interesting idea. Has anybody sat and watched it for any length of time?
I was looking for a 24-hour block that I wasn't doing anything, but I couldn't find one.
I mean, you can download almost all, as far as I know, you can download all of these shows. Well, no, they have some original stuff and watch on your iPod. It's that same thing of, do I want to sit and watch this on my screen?
I mean, I think if you're a Mac show, and one of the things that we're probably looking, you know, we're kind of looking at is if you're a Mac show, it's probably not bad to get your Mac show up there and get some exposure. But as I said, I mean, most of our viewers are going to be downloading downloading from iTunes.
And I'm looking here, and you can't even things that are TDL originals like Gary's Garage, you can download directly. So, you know, they're all QuickTime files. So I think most people would, but I guess the TDL probably doesn't care. Watch it live or download it. You're still watching it.
Right. As far as something that, yeah, playing back for you one after another, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I think it's a good idea. It's just a question of, once again, that convenience of being able to.
I love the idea. I wish him luck. I just think this is a 24/7 channel all about Mac. That's great.
It'd be exciting to see this actually convert to a cable channel.
Yeah.
Do you think that's the plan?
I don't know if it's the plan or not, but I think that it definitely could be done. I mean, when you look at a lot of this stuff, you know, that there's a lot of excess cable channels right now. you know, in digital cable.
This is no worse than a lot of the cable channels right now.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah. Really.
Probably not the metric they're looking for, Leo, but yeah.
Hey, that's all we had. That's all we ever had to do. Just be as good as the other crappy channels.
We don't suck as bad as everybody else.
You want to hear the digital media dude? Here he is.
I can undo that. Click on save. And then if I refresh, you can see that it's back to the way. You can just change some of the parameters.
This is exactly
the other thing you can change.
What everybody, when we started Tech TV, thought Tech TV would be. And then you click the start menu and go to programs. That's exactly, but you know, there's a market for that.
Or maybe, well, I think that one of the things that I think a lot of people doing any of these podcasts, I think that the big challenge once they start really pushing this stuff down is finding, you know, tightening up all the shows.
So hey, once you start streaming this, I'm streaming my whole day on Ustream. If people want to sit me and watch me sit in front of a microphone, talk to people, disembodied voices all day, they can.
They still
you're a very interesting guy.
Teaching you how to paint on PBS.
Yeah, that Bob Ross guy, right?
Yeah, right.
But he was good. He had little fluffy little clouds. There was something about him that was magic, right?
Yeah.
He was, I mean, he was really, and I think that's kind of what it does come down to, I have to say, is there's a certain amount of personality required to do that. We have 180 people watching us right now. I bet you that's more than are watching the Digital Lifestyle channel.
They had 13, I think, the last time I saw it.
They'll
have a lot more right after this podcast.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm glad. I don't mean to badmouth them. I think that that's great. I think that that's kind of the promise of all of this stuff, and of Mogulus particularly, is everybody should do a channel. You know, if you can aggregate enough content to go 24/7, do.
Yeah.
You should. There should be a Pixel Core channel.
We're going down that direction.
Hell, Tech TV only produced, you know, 8 hours of programming, if that, a day, and just repeated it. Call for Help was on like 5 times. The Screensavers was on 5 times. That's half the programming day right there.
Well, and when you're thinking about a cable network, you have to fill up all that time, and you also want to make it available because people aren't time shifting.
Right.
But once you have podcasts, it's a question of whether you need to do that or not.
Let's go on to patent nonsense. Lawsuits galore. AT&T and Apple sued over iPhone's visual voicemail. Klausner Technologies say we own that. We invented that. What do you think, Scott Bourne, AppleFoneShow.com?
There's some like 250 pending lawsuits against the iPhone. And I think that there are too many lawyers. And I think that most of these will end up either being dismissed or they'll go away as nuisance suits. Some of them may be legitimate. I mean, you can't really say, but it's like, come on. It doesn't matter what's popular. Whatever's popular, all the lawyers start suing it because they see a payday.
Right.
So, if there was another cell phone that was more popular than the iPhone,
you're right.
You got to wonder if Clouser wouldn't be suing them. I don't know. I don't know the specifics of this suit. It could be a valid suit, obviously, but we see so many lawsuits, and then, you know, it's like all the suits. They make tons of news when they're launched.
Right.
Like the big lawsuit over Steve Jobs and his options. Remember that?
Yeah. Well,
case dismissed. Case dismissed. Right. Case dismissed.
There was something there, but I think as we talked about on this show, nobody really wants Steve to leave Apple. So even if
the point is,
an Enron level malfeasance, I don't think anybody the shareholders wouldn't force him out.
I think that what a lot of people miss from a legal point of view is that what happens is they get to a summary judgment in the court case. So it never actually makes, even if it gets that far, it gets to a law firm, and Apple will hire a law firm that's designed to kill the case at summary judgment. They'll just attack everything. And man, if your ducks aren't in a row, I mean, most cases, just if it's really not tied all the way down, these law firms specialize in getting them thrown out.
Well, what's interesting is they filed a similar suit against AOL and Vonage. Vonage settled, giving them the cash to then go against Apple.
Right.
So that's kind of how
Vonage just couldn't afford to have it go anywhere.
Right. That's often how that happens. They'll sue the small guys, build up a cash war chest, then go after the big guys.
Well, the point I want to make, Leo, is that, you know, it was big news when Jobs got sued. It wasn't big news when the case was dismissed.
He wasn't sued. He was being investigated by the SEC.
No, he was actually sued.
Well, yeah, they sued the executives, too.
There was a class action suit.
Class action suit against
by a bunch of cranks. Well, I don't know if they're...
All these lawsuits against the iPhone make a lot of news when they're launched. What we don't hear about is when they're dismissed.
Right.
Hey, did you see this thing with Pepsi offering 1 billion DRM-free songs from Amazon?
Yeah, they're not... Last year, remember, it was iTunes.
100 million in iTunes.
They're
upping the ante.
And DRM-free. Is that a loss for iTunes? It's great for Amazon.
It is. You know, have you been buying any stuff from Amazon?
I've bought a lot of stuff, but now I'm hearing, not that anybody pays any attention to terms of service, but apparently the terms of service on Amazon Music is awful. But
what do you mean?
I didn't even read it, so I don't. Well, everybody's people like Cory Doctorow are saying, you read the license agreement on this music. It's worse than if it had DRM on it. I don't know. I can't even find. I've been trying to read the license agreement. I can't find it. It's here somewhere, I'm sure. There's a lot of links, but no, I've been buying. I love it.
Can I take us down a rat hole for a second?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
If you want to read the worst license agreement on the web, the one that should curl your toes, read the friggin' PayPal agreement.
Yeah.
Oh.
Let me tell you something. You put money into PayPal anytime they want. Any reason they want. They can just lock that account up for up to like a year,
right,
and they'll let you know.
That's why I always take out whenever I have any money in there. I always take it out as quickly as I can.
Yeah, they held over 10 grand of mine for like a month.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
And when my lawyers looked into it, they said, well, you know when you click that little terms of service button, I said, I agree. You said they could do that.
Nobody reads this stuff. I'm looking all over the Amazon MP3 page for... license agreement. They really bury it somewhere,
but people, for good reason.
But if you do a search for Amazon license agreement, you know, people are really upset about it.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that it's. I just found that two things happened. One is that when I got my little media center set up, I went through the process of digitizing all of my CDs and remembering all of the ones that I hadn't gotten to yet. And now that I have like 18,000 songs on there, I don't feel like that I put on for just the CDs that I had laying around. I didn't feel the need to buy that many. But the other thing is that I just didn't want to go out to a website. I really found that I'm managing everything.
Oh, interesting. You want iTunes. But you download some, but it has a little downloader, gets them into iTunes. It's all automatic.
I just noticed that I didn't do it. I was all excited when it came out. Oh, I'll go check it out, and I'll do all the stuff, and this is really cool. And it has made me very touchy about buying non-EMI songs on iTunes. You know, like I really think about it before I decide I'm going to do that, because I really don't want any more DRM at all. I don't want to buy any more DRM songs. So I just, I'd rather buy a used CD from Rasputin down the, than I would buy the, buy a DRM anything. So that has me thinking about it, but I don't find the interface for the Amazon store very good. It's kind of a pain in the neck.
Yeah, well, it's like buying stuff on Amazon.
It is. I don't know. I guess it's because I buy so many at a time. When I buy songs, I'm not buying one or two things. And I will say, I should own stock in Amazon for the amount of money I spend there. I mean, I buy everything that I can find on Amazon, except for the music.
You don't like it, Macalope, either?
I use it. I use it. Usually what I do is I try and see if I can get a DRM free from iTunes. But then if I can't get a DRM free from iTunes, I go to Amazon. But I don't like the interface.
Well, it's not iTunes.
It doesn't have to be iTunes. It just has to not.
Well, what's hard about it? I mean, you search. Okay, so Amy Winehouse. There's the album. Buy MP3 album. You click the thing. The downloader launches and it downloads them and puts it in iTunes. I don't find it difficult. Maybe.
Well, I think it pages the results, whereas in iTunes you get everything.
It does. It does.
I tend to be very sensitive about that. I mean, I think that's probably the thing that I just go, ugh, I don't want it.
Shows you a bunch of junk on the side that I don't really care about. I mean, I really like something that's more dedicated to finding music rather than showing me the rest of the stuff where, you can click over here to get your recommendations.
Buy for 89 cents, you can buy... this.
You're a monster, Mr. Grinch.
I already have it.
Oh, all right. But that's 89 cents unprotected. Come on.
Well, like I said, that's. I mean, I go there and I buy it from there.
Yeah.
If I can't get a DRM free from Apple, I'm not.
See, I could click the one DRM. Click, and I don't. Maybe I'm just so used to I buy. So, well, you do too, though, Alex. I buy so much stuff on Amazon that,
you know, there's not that big a selection. That's the other problem. I went looking there for probably 10 songs the other day and found one.
If it had everything, you know what? Would that change it, guys, Alex and McAlope, if every song you wanted were there?
Yeah, I think that the problem is that there's all this page up. You know, it's constantly paging when you're doing searches just so you can find out that it's not there. If I knew that it was going to be there, if it was big enough there, then I'll go through it and I'll find
it. Put it up with it, right.
Right.
But you would you have this song?
Alvin.
Alvin! I just got to say, you know, the first step's admitting you have a problem. That's all.
I have a problem. I buy every Christmas song available.
You know, the Chipmunks are coming out with a movie.
I saw it. It's such a weird looking movie. Have you seen it? The trailer?
No, but I want to.
It's a live action movie with CGI chipmunks.
CGI chipmunks? Well, what do you think they're going to do? Get real chipmunks, Leo? Come on.
Trained chipmunks.
Yeah. Now I'd go
see that.
That's
like saying Star Wars had CGI spaceships. I'm sorry. That's all that are available.
Well, now, wait a minute. I mean, they've done some amazing. Look at Lassie. They've done some amazing things with animal training. I think there's no reason you couldn't have real chipmunks. Spend a little more time. Work a little harder. They could do it. I think they could. I really do. And I would go see that movie. Wouldn't you?
You know, I'm going to go see the one with CGI.
A lot of those YouTube movies of the dogs.
I love that stuff. Yeah. That's what's made YouTube for me.
Did you see the spoof of that where the dog is just sitting next to the roller skates because they're on strike because of the actors? The writers.
I love there's been a ton of great writers videos going up because the writers are using this YouTube as a way to speak. And I think that's really interesting. How many writers are going to say, wait a minute, you know, I like this better? Of course, it doesn't pay, does it?
Not yet.
Top searches for 2007. Interesting difference between Yahoo and Google. On Yahoo, the number one search of 2007 was, want to guess? Britney Spears. Followed by WWE, the World Wrestling Enterprises. Followed by Paris Hilton. Go over to Google.
That's just so frightening.
Isn't that sad? It says it's a real statement about people who use Yahoo. People who use Google, the number one search, iPhone.
We like Google.
iPhone. Well, it goes down fast. Number two search, Webkinz. Number three search, TMZ, which is the gossip site with all the videos of Britney Spears. But Google users are smarter. Instead of entering Britney Spears, they go straight to TMZ. They know where the upskirt shots are. Transformers, number four. YouTube, number five. That's funny, going to a Google site to look for YouTube.
Well, at Google for a meeting, I looked up, and maybe it was there when I was there with you, but I looked up at the screen in the lobby, and someone had Googled Yahoo.
Yeah, that's right. I was with you. And then the guy who was with us said, yeah, that's actually one of the top search terms on Google.
How did I find Yahoo?
So I have to correct myself because while Google, Yahoo was talking about the top 20 searches, Google was talking about the fastest growing search terms. So I'm thinking maybe Britney will be on there because it's 2 years in a row that Britney's been the top, right?
Why? Why?
Let's see.
Just step away.
Step away from the spear.
From the crash.
You know, the problem is these are the people who are going to be taking care of us in our old age, Leo.
Oh, you're right. Oh my God.
It'll be insufferable.
I watch how my kids use the web, and of course they, you know, Britney Spears right up there. That's the first thing they want to see. And I, you know, I admit that when I missed Britney Spears doing the MTV Music Awards, I went to YouTube to find, you know, the fiasco, the video of the fiasco. I Googled it.
So you just stop and look at car crashes, don't you?
I do. I can't help it. And boy, that was a car crash. PC Magazine column by Oliver Rist. Now, remember the source, PC Magazine. Although PC Magazine has been pretty complimentary of Macintosh, and this is from their Everything Apple column. He says, Leopard is not better than Vista. It is Vista, and Tiger's better than both of them.
Amen.
A lot of people are not liking Leopard.
Really? I switched my computer over to Leopard, and I'm not really having... I was waiting for bad things to happen, and it hasn't. What trouble are people having that I'm missing?
Wi-Fi problems for keyboard freezes on the MacBooks.
Now, one thing I am having is not keyboard freezes, but I have like four or five times had my trackpad freeze for a second. You know, like the mouse just kind of won't go anywhere.
That's probably related. I've had trouble with spaces being, and I know Merlin had trouble because I saw his Twitter. He said, something happened. My applications have disappeared. They don't come back till I reboot. And then somebody said, it's spaces. Just press F8C and everything will come back. And it's true. For some reason, spaces grabs Windows and...
That happened to me once.
Yeah, it's weird.
By the way, someone was posting the way the dock should work. You know, they posted this on MacBreak Weekly on the MBW list.
Yeah.
There is a list of, let's see, further down. Someone posted it. It was a little video of, I guess, what used to be in the sorry.
Look for it while I do the ad. How about that? You'll find it before I'm done talking about audible.com. Our sponsor, and after last week's tweet, I don't know how much longer they're going to be a sponsor, but I love them. audible.com/MacBreak. If you'd like to get a free book, you get a credit for a book when you sign up at audible.com/MacBreak. 45,000 plus titles. I'm listening to new stuff all the time.
I just got a new book yesterday.
What'd you get?
Getting Things Done.
Yeah. Dave Allen.
The thing I hadn't been getting done was actually reading the book.
Perfect. And, get that done. Yeah, so now you can use OmniFocus.
Well, what happened was, here's the worst part, is I got OmniFocus and I got all excited about it, but I was like, but I don't know how it works.
Right,
I don't know what
I'm supposed to do. You have to read Getting Things Done first.
So I got OmniFocus and then I decided, well, I better figure out how this works. And then my wife actually had the Getting Things Done book. So I had it sitting out and I just kept on looking at it and looking at it, but I don't really read. So I was like, I'm never actually going to get to this. So I bought the book, and it's actually Dave Allen is actually reading it.
It's like going to one of his seminars, which is great.
It's really great, and it was great. I was just walking through Bristol Farms last night shopping and listening to, you know, feeling more effective just listening to it.
If you've got a baby or you've got to go to Bristol Farms, you need to join Audible. Audible.com/MacBreak. And if you've got things to get done. Getting Things Done. That's a good, you know, it's not our first time we've recommended that, but I think it's a great recommendation. It's worth bringing up again, especially for the Mac folks who are going to start, using OmniFocus. It makes it. You're right. OmniFocus kind of is a Getting Things Done application.
It's built around it. I mean, they say that you can use it for other things, but that's really the thing that you want to, if you're going to really go at it, that's the thing to use. And I've become very clear with the baby and everything else that's going on that, you know, my current system is insufficient for the requirements that I have in front of me. So I'm trying to, you know, scramble into a new structure. So
no, that's absolutely true. This is the time. If you're not more efficient with a kid, you're going to be underwater very fast. Or you can do what Merlin did and just disappear.
Oh, there's that.
We beg you.
I chose not to.
Please, I beg of you, do not disappear. All right, that's a good recommendation. Getting Things Done, our book of the day. If you would like to get that book or any book, 45,000 plus titles, you can get a credit towards a free book by just going to audible.com, audible.com/MacBreak. You know, the number one search term on my blog is Twit Audible picks.
Nice.
I've got to put together a list. We have them all. I've been saving them all. They're in a big spreadsheet, and I just have to. I'll put them on the blog sometime in the next this week. I've got to get it on the blog because I know people really want to see. Well, what were those picks? And we don't want to make you listen to every single show. Well, maybe we do. On second thoughts.
By the way, I found this thing with a doc.
Okay, let me finish up. audible.com/MacBreak. We thank Audible for their support of MacBreak Weekly. Okay.
It's about 2 hours ago, if you go down the MacBreak Weekly thing from the time we're recording. It says the way the doc is supposed to work, stack's done right. And it was something, I don't know how they did it. Maybe it was with a beta or something like that. But it was the idea that you could you could grab a bunch of applications and drag them as a group onto the doc, and then it would stack up a whole bunch of applications.
Oh, make your own stack.
Right. So you'd have your own little stack of applications.
Because then you'd control the size of it and so forth.
Right. And so, and what's interesting about it is I saw that after I had actually found something.
Oh, you're going to steal my MacBreak pick.
Oh, are you? It's not a tool.
Key? K? Uh-huh. Way? I got a great pick that will fix the stacks.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you what, this isn't a tool of any kind. This is just a what I found was is that I you know, as you may have seen when I'm on like the lab or whatever, is I oftentimes have a huge
your dock has so many items on the dock that the icons are about the size of a pinhead.
Yeah, so I decided I don't want to do that again, and so I was like, I wonder if I could just put all the I could put aliases of the applications into a folder, and then drag that folder in. At least I'd have folders there that I could do. Well, one of the things that's really interesting about the dock that at first I thought was a bug and now I think is a feature, is that if you put applications only into a folder and then drag that folder onto the dock in the folder area, it actually doesn't show a folder. It shows the applications all stacked up on top of each other.
Oh,
so it does
do what it's supposed to do.
So it's doing what it's like. So and like if you take one that was designed,
so you could make a pile of applications.
That's what I did. So what I have a pile. I have a pile that's I have a 3D pile. I have a Pro Apps pile, an iApps pile, an Internet pile, and an iWork pile. And the iWork pile is the one that probably works the best because they're already in a folder. I wasn't willing to move the applications. I mean, applications can be a little sensitive about being moved out of the application folder.
Just do shortcuts. Aliases.
So I just put aliases in, but the iWork one, you just drag the iWork folder in, and then you click on it, and they pop up. I like the grid. I don't like the little thing.
I'm trying this now. So, oh, look at that. So if it's small enough, it'll do the right thing.
Well, if it's applications. I don't know if it's anything, but it looks like this was kind of the compromise. I guess something wasn't working or whatever, and they pulled it out. But it works great, and now I have a whole slew of applications that are all in little groups, and so I was able to take what would have been probably 25 applications and stick them into five groups.
I bet you that's what. Why don't they ever use that as an example of Stacks? Yeah. That's how Stacks is meant to be. So you Adobe applications folder and have all the Adobe applications in it.
And when I saw it, I was like, well, this is really what, I mean, this makes Stacks worth it. I mean, because the other Stack stuff, I just thought was nuts. So it actually works really, really well.
There you go.
Kind of group your applications in there.
I like it. Wow.
Anyway.
Now, what if you did a smart folder? I wonder if it would do that, too. Let me try it. I'm going to make a smart folder with just Adobe in it. Now, that won't work too well, though. But I guess you could, you could say applications with the word Adobe in it. That would work. I'll have to play with it because I'm trying to do a show right now. I just don't. See, this is the problem. I get sidetracked.
Look at the shiny little bubble.
It's pretty. You'll be surprised how many things I buy when I'm doing these shows because my resistance is down. And somebody like Scott will say, those speakers are great. And I'll go, click. Bought it. Click. It's mine. Mac is now near a 7% market share, according to statistics from Net Applications. The Mac Intel platform garnered 3.59%, while Mac OS 3.22%, a total of 6.81%. And here's what's really interesting. The iPhone has now you might think this is ridiculous, 0.09% of the web browsing online market. But that bests Pocket PC.
See, that's interesting. That's an interesting statistic.
Isn't that interesting?
We did a poll at the Apple Phone Show recently asking people what their favorite iPhone feature was, and Safari was the huge landslide winner with about a third of the votes. The next closest thing was email at less than half that. So I'm not surprised. People like, despite their crying about 2G, they like to use Safari, and probably because of Wi-Fi making it particularly an enjoyable experience. So that's a really fantastic statistic.
And it's not, it's iPhone plus iPhone Touch. So people really, even in the Touch, they're liking Safari. And advertisers are liking it. And a San Mateo-based mobile advertising company called AdMob has created an iPhone-focused Land Rover campaign. Of users who clicked on the Land Rover advertisement, 23% responded to a call to action on the landing page. 88% watched the video. 9% entered their zip code to find a Land Rover dealership. I mean, these are numbers through the roof. This is like maybe iPhone users are just naturally Land Rover users.
Well, they got the money. Maybe that's the more important thing.
They're like you when you're doing a podcast.
Yeah, click. Yeah.
I think I'll buy that. Land Rover?
I'm on my iPhone. I can buy
that.
Oh, boy. Have secret electronic sauce that makes you want to buy everything.
Maybe we found a secret here. Let's try something. All right, I want everybody to go to Overstock.com and buy a squishy ball right now. Let's just see what happens. Wild. Wouldn't that be wild? No, that's why. That's frankly why advertisers like Audible like podcasts, because it does, there's something about it. We're wired right to your neural receptors. We're coming right into your head. I think that's true of audio, particularly.
I was talking to one of the other hosts on the VFX show, David Strapinis, was mentioning that he says he has TiVo and he doesn't know who the advertisers are, or even what network the shows are on that he watches, but he knows who all the sponsors are for all the Twit and MacBreak and all these other ones. Yeah.
We know this. One of our I can't say who, but one of our advertisers did a study, and we absolutely know this. They got response similar to this, very similar to this. Response for the Land Rover. I mean, it's just mind blowing. And I'm seeing a story. I think I put it on MacBreak Weekly that online ad sales next year they expect will outpace radio ad sales.
Wow.
I think I put it on there. Let me see. Is it next year or the next few years? But that's like $8 billion.
Well, I think there's a huge opportunity again to get back into that writer's strike. I mean, if it lasts a long time, the opportunity for lots of advertising to flow into our markets is very high.
Well, maybe Audible won't leave us after Cory Doctorow's he went off on Audible's copy protection during the Audible ad.
That would happen.
and then yeah, of course it's Cory. What do you? I totally knew that would happen.
Yeah, that's a landmine waiting to go off.
Yeah. And he what was interesting, he said, oh, I love Audible. I bought thousands of dollars of books for them, but and then he goes off on the copy protection and talks about how he broke it.
My gosh.
Oh, that's all right. And then at the end he said, oh, I'm sorry, you can edit that out. And I said, well, no, not really. If I edit it out, then an advertiser will influence content. And I don't do that. So anyway, I don't care.
So then you just made a new ad that said MacBreak Weekly used to be sponsored by Audible.com.
I don't care. Who cares? If we don't have advertisers, what are we going to,
we were doing what we would do if we were all just sitting around talking. Anyway.
Exactly. We've been doing this anyway. Nobody's in it for the money.
Remember Gear Media Tech? We did like, 8 straight hours of podcast teaching. Then we went over to House of Prime Rib and then talked about podcasts for 3 hours.
I wish I'd taped that. Then we'd have a podcast right there. So have you seen the new, you got to love these Apple ads. Have you seen the new Get a Mac ad? Let me play it for you. You're going to love this.
Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC.
Hello, PC World? Yes, it's PC here. I'd like to report a misprint, a very serious misprint. Well, you said, and I quote, the fastest Windows Vista notebook we tested this year is a Mac. A Mac? That's impossible.
Oh, wait, I'm a PC. I think that's actually true.
How can a Mac run Vista faster than a PC? It goes against the laws of nature. Well, you know what? I'll put Mac on. He'll tell you that I run Vista faster.
I'll talk to them, but I can't say...
Hello, I'm a Mac. Yeah, dude, PC's definitely faster.
I love it. What a great way to highlight a very good story in PC world.
Didn't they also, they did some online, and I actually missed it, but they did some online version of the ad where they were pointing, it was the same two guys, but it was in like a little flash video.
Yeah, you see these everywhere now. I think CNET has them
and
too.
And weren't they pointing up at like a Vista ad?
Oh, how funny.
And saying something about, I didn't see it. I only saw it in passing, and I didn't stop to look at it.
Funny. Oh, how funny.
They actually were, making fun of this Vista ad banner that was running across the top.
Oh, wow. I'm looking on the CNET page. That's what all that noise is. I'm trying to find to see. I saw it. Maybe it was PC Magazine, but I didn't see that they actually were pointing at a Vista ad. Oh, how funny. Boy, there's an example of an ad buy you're not going to get. 2 times in a row. I guess it's probably Mac World. I figured they wouldn't get it anyway. All right, we're gonna get to our picks of the week. I'd like to hear from our columnists on their picks, and I already told you mine, so might as well just blurt it right out. And I hope nobody else has this one, but it's such an obvious one. It's called Qay, Q-U-A-Y, and it is a play on Get It on Doc, but. This is a program that fixes the stacks. But now that I know Alex's trick, I'm gonna use this, and you can use both. And that's the beauty of it. What it does is a simple little program. You can use it for free to create one folder that has the hierarchical menu. The menu hierarchical menu's back. So I drag my you open key, you drag your My Applications folder to it, say. And then you can label it, you can badge it, you can put some color on it, you can do all sorts of stuff. And when you're done, you drag it to the dock, and all of a sudden, yay, we're back to the way it used to be with a hierarchical menu. Now, there are some disadvantages. You can't drag files to it, alas. But it works, and it doesn't run in the background all the time. I don't know exactly what kind of weird leopard foo they're doing. It's a Cocoa application, but it does the job, and it does it painlessly. Free to do one folder, but it's a, I think this is a hundredth of an Alex. It's €7 if you want to unlock it, and I did immediately because I missed my hierarchical folders, so they're back. But now you can combine them, so I can have a stack for iWork, and I can have a hierarchical folder for my applications. What a great way to go. Q-U-A-Y, it's from brockerhoff.net, brockerhoff.net/key. And I thank Rick Yeager of the Mac Merc, macmerc.com, for tipping me off to this program because he knew how unhappy I was with my stacks. Mr. Scott Bourne, you have a pick for us today?
I do now. Leo, what's the average iPhone case cost? $39?
Yeah.
$35?
Yeah.
That, probably everybody thinks that's just what it costs to get an iPhone case, right?
Right.
Not right at all.
More or less? Are we going up or down?
We're going down, baby.
Down?
We found a really cool pouch at a place that most people will not be familiar with if you're not from San Francisco, but that shouldn't stop you from buying from them because they have a website. There's a company called Tad Gear. And Liana Lehua from Girls Gone Geek turned me on to this place right around the corner from my studio. And they have a pouch designed specifically for the iPhone called the Tad Gear Icom Pouch. Icommpouch. And it's $16.95. Oh, wow. $16.95. And that's tadgear.com is the website.
TadGear.com?
That's correct.
Okay.
And they have this Icom Pouch. It is it's military spec quality in terms
Ooh,
of
Ooh, I
stitching.
Like how it looks.
Yeah. And it'll Velcro on to just about any camera bag or vest, and they make some great backpacks that it goes on. It's perfectly sized for the iPhone. It has a little top flap that lets you bring your headphone wires out so that you can keep the phone in the case while you're on it.
But it's not effete. It looks like it's very paramilitary.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. If you're, you know, if you want one of the chic $39 cases at the Apple Store, go for it. But if you're a little edgy and you want something that'll do a good job of holding the phone and protecting it, that is my pick of the week for $16.95.
This would look good on your $1,000 vest.
It does. Yeah, yeah. I just need 52 of these for each one of my iPhones.
Scott has this amazing vest, not made of iPhones, although he does have that also. But it's a custom-made kind of like photographer's vest, camo photographer's
it looks
vest.
Looks awesome.
It's so cool. And this would go with
parachute
material? Oh, wow. This would go with it so nicely.
It would.
In fact, they even have the desert camo or the jungle camo.
Yes. Well,
This Tad Gear is in San Francisco?
It's right around the... It's between the two buildings where the studio is, Alex.
I like this stuff. Look at this pack.
Because I've been looking for
if you go into this store, you'll spend $1,000.
Oh my gosh, I can definitely see it. Because I've been looking for a hip diaper bag.
I think desert camo diaper bags. That's something.
I'm not gonna carry around that flowery crap. I was like, I need like a medic bag or something like that.
If you're in San Francisco and you just want a good time, visit this store because I promise you, there's no store
really
on earth
expensive.
Where you can buy camo gear and play robots all in the
Ooh,
same store.
It's the elite class in adventure gear. Tad Gear Incorporated. Tadgear.com.
Yes.
Good. That's neat. And they have a bargain bin.
Yes, I do. And I'd like to point on the record, $16.95 is about the cheapest pick I've ever come up with.
Yeah, I don't think we need to even go back in time to verify that. I believe that's absolutely true. Mr. McAlope, do you have a pick for us today?
I do. My pick is a website,
and it's negative Alex's because it will actually save you money.
Ah.
It is MaxSanta.com.
I like the name.
And this was actually, and I don't know why. I don't know if we want to get into this whole thing, but
why not? We get into every other whole
year,
thing.
Yeah. When there was that whole controversy over, I can't even remember what the heck it was.
Mac Heist?
Mac Heist and all those other deals where they were bundling a bunch of applications together, and some people were saying that the developers were getting ripped off, and other people were saying, well, the developers, you know, chose to go into this.
That's right. Open, so. And Mac Heist is back, by the way. They're going to do another one in January.
Yep. Yeah. Well, this is a collection of Mac developers who are all getting together of their own accord and doing this. And the savings, you know, the all of the fees go right to the developers. So if you buy an application that's...
So this is kind of their response to Mac Heist. Yeah,
exactly. But they have some good deals. There's a set of applications that are available every day, and they're 20% off. And then if you go down to the bottom in the lower right-hand corner, there's an extended deals section, and those are just coupons that you can enter for 10% off of applications that were previously featured. And they've got some good applications. I mean, they've got BB Edit and Yojimbo and Mars Edit. Yeah.
Yep.
And it's all good stuff.
That's really cool. And I imagine they're going to add more over time.
Right.
That's really great. Really great. MaxSanta.com or MaxSantaDeals.com, I guess it goes to. So,
yep.
Very, very cool. That's a great pick. Finally, Alex Lindsay.
I have a pick that I picked up I didn't even know what it was. It was just from Panic Software. So Panic Software,
What you're going to say. I just bought this too. Go ahead.
That too?
No, I love Panic Software stuff.
No, I have all the other stuff. I mean, I use Transmit all the time, and what I was doing is I was actually getting my re-downloading. I installed Leopard, and so I was re-downloading all the stuff, and so I was downloading Desktastic, which I use. We do feedback on QuickTimes with Desktastic, and so I was downloading that, and I was like, oh, what is this Statue? And I downloaded it, and it's pretty cool. So what happens with Statue is you can have a bunch of you can have different clocks. The date, calendars, possibly even mail. I haven't tried the mail yet. Your weather and everything else. And what it does is it actually, when it's on, it actually puts it in a little strip that goes along the bottom of your desktop. And one of the things that's important for me related to that is mostly that, I deal with people all over the world. So I need to kind of know what, you know, the time zone is and what the, when we're putting, we have people that are on shows that are in Sydney and India and
Africa. You work
in
Greenwich Mean Time. I mean, you're not working in regular time.
Right. And so having all of that stuff, but I've always wanted to have kind of a heads up display that did that on my desktop. And I'd love to put more stuff on my desktop. Actually, this is like the beginning of what I'd like to see, but, it's super cool. And I think it's like $15. I mean, it's not, it's nothing that, it's a whatever.
Different from Dashboard or Yahoo widgets? I mean, what is the...
Well, here's the deal is you're not hitting anything for it to come up.
Right.
So it literally is sitting over top of your... I mean, it becomes part... As soon as you close it, you add a bunch of stuff. You can add RSS feeds, the little headlines. You can add, pieces from your calendar, so on and so forth. And it's sitting actually on your desktop. My thing is that there's a lot of that kind of heads-up display. I don't really want to hit... I don't want to hit F12 and wait for it to pop up. Right. I really want it to just be sitting there so I can just kind of look down. I don't keep a lot of stuff on my desktop. So I just want to be able to look down and see that information. So I've got like 8 time zones and the temperature outside
cool.
A bunch of,
I'm liking this. This is very cool.
It's, it's one of those things. It's a slick little, application that's just done well. I'd love to have access to doing more, like, putting more information on my desktop, because there's a lot of things that are on the dashboard, or widgets that pop up, and I don't really want them. I really want them on the desktop. I don't really want them on it because I don't use the desktop for lots of files. I love to have kind of heads up displays, that I can do. And one of the things it does let you do in the preferences is play with the opacity and the color and everything else. So I just have a bare gray, desktop. So I can kind of have it just kind of fade into it. So I just look down. It's not something that grabs my eye all the time, but it just gives me the information that I'm looking for. And it's just a fun little application. So, you can of course download a little demo of it and, you should definitely, people should try it. It's really, it's cool. The guys at Panic are great.
They're good.
At just solving little problems really, really well. Yeah. So
I just spent $30 on Candy Bar, which is their icon program. That's what I thought you were going to talk about.
Oh, well, Candy Bar is great. I mean, I love that too. I don't think they've made an application that I didn't like.
Everything so. I use them all.
Yeah.
Panic Software and Statue, which, you know, the Yahoo desktop just does not work with Leopard. It's just right. funky. And so I might have to turn to something else. Statue might be the thing.
Cool.
Panic.com. That's our pick. I also want to mention we've got a holiday deal for everybody who loves Scott E. Vestwear. This deal extends through Christmas. If you want to get Scott E. Vest for a geek in your life, you get 20% off any Scott E. Vest item, except for the Twit items. We have a separate deal for that. I think that's the Twit coupon code. But the Scott E. Vest, if any Scott E. Vest item, get 20% off anything on the site if you use my name Leo in the coupon code. So just buy what you want, put my name Leo in the coupon code, and you'll get 20% off.
I love them. I love my Scott E. Vest.
Oh, everything. I do. I'm wearing Scott E. Vest pants, shirt right now. If they had underwear, I'd be wearing it. If they had socks, I'd be wearing it.
When I went to Africa the last time, I used the one that I had, and it was, you know, it's got like 40 pockets or whatever, and it was just, it was perfect.
Well, this also supports us. This also supports us. So they've been very good. They, you know, they also make the stuff that we sell on ThinkGeek. This doesn't apply to the ThinkGeek stuff, but they make the stuff that we sell on ThinkGeek, and they're just a great manufacturer. I've been very happy with it. And boy, if you go to Scott E. Vest's website, ScottEvest.com. You'll see a ton of great stuff. And this is good geek gifts. Use my name Leo in the coupon code and you will get 20% off anything on their page, ScottEvest.com. And we do thank them very much for supporting Twit. He's been such a great supporter and is such a fan, and just really glad that we could work together for this holiday promotion. 20% off. Code word Leo. And the reason we did Leo and not Twit is because this will also be for the radio show and so forth. So we didn't want to use the word Twit because I think the radio show people might not have understood that. They might have been puzzled. Why do we have to say Twit? I don't understand. So it's Leo. Hey, some great picks, everybody. Thank you so much. I think we've lost everybody. Now it's just you and me, Alex.
No, I'm here.
McElope's still here. Scott seems to have fallen off the face of the earth. Will Harris could not keep his Skype alive. Let me see if Scott is Scott gone. Yeah, I think Scott disappeared. He's using Linux. What do you expect if you use an inferior operating system like Linux? thank everybody. Now, next week's Mac Break Weekly is a little bit up in the air, as is Twit. I'm going to be out of town through Tuesday. Maybe we'll do it a little bit late. I think what we would really like to do is do maybe something towards the end of the week, kind of a year in review. And we're going to try to get everybody who's ever been on Mac Break Weekly this year, so do a massive conference. So we'll look for that, and I'll keep you updated on Twitter or Jaiku or on the webpage twit.tv. thank you very much. Alex Lindsay is at Pixelcore, pixelcore.com.
Yep. pixelcore.tv or .com
.tv for the podcast.com for yep. that great guild of artists. What a wonderful holiday gift that would be. Alex isn't good about plugging himself, so I will. pixelcore.com if you've got somebody in your family who wants to learn more about 2 and 3D graphics and production, audio and video production. I mean, this is the place. Pixelcore.com. A membership there would be a great holiday gift. And the McElope is at CNET. Is it McElope.CNET.com?
It's blogs.CNET.com/McElope.
Okay, that's close.
Yeah.
Blogs.CNET.com. Don't go to that McElope.com anymore. No reason. No reason. Nothing going on there. Go to blogs.CNET.com.
Like peace and quiet.
Yes. Look for the horned.
Looking to get away.
Look, that's great. It's a great blog if you don't want to do anything. Just kind of sit there. go to blogs.cnet.com/McElope for the Horned One's take on everything Apple and OS X and Mac and iPhone. And, of course, Scott Bourne is the host of so many shows, including the iAppleFoneShow.com. He also is going to do a Google Phone show soon. Watch for that. GirlsGoneGeek.tv. And podango.com. And wherever he is, he's in Linux hell right now. Wherever he is, we wish him the best. And thanks to Will Harris, too, who is here briefly. Channelflip.com is his place on the web. Channelflip.com. I'm Leo Laporte. Let me see. I want to see. I have a checklist. I mentioned Scott E. Vest. I mentioned Oh, Merlin Mannerisms. I knew there was something else. We have that great book of Merlin's Mannerisms. It's a calendar. We can offer it as a PDF. So if you send me an email, leo@leoville.com, with the word Merlin in the subject line, I will send you the PDF of Merlin's Mannerisms. It's a calendar, a big book. You can also go to lulu.com and have it printed for you. That's fine, too. But Merlin's Mannerisms is a page-a-day calendar, which is so neat, put together by John Hoffman. We really thank him for doing that. And he's given me the PDF, and I would be glad to give it to you free as our holiday gift from MacBreak Weekly. So all you have to do is send me an email, leo@leoville.com. Put the word Merlin all by itself in the subject line, and I will just respond with a PDF. It's 344K that you can print out yourself, or you can go to Lulu and search for Merlin's Mannerisms, and you can have a printed version made for you, bound, spiral bound, and everything. And thanks to John Hoffman of Kalamazoo, Michigan, for putting that together for us. And thanks to Merlin Mann for allowing us to use his name in vain. Oh, man, and we just missed. I just got an email from Dr. Tiki, Jeff McPherson, who was online. We missed him. He was going to join us. Well, Dr. Tiki, we'll have you on as part of our year-end wrap-up. Thank you, everybody. Another Mac Break is broke.